Our reading for today is going to be in Genesis chapter 37, starting in verse 1. Genesis 37, verse 1. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of the other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf rose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he said to him, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me word." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a man found him wandering in the fields, and the man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." And the man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes and returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone, and I, where shall I go?" Then they took Joseph's robe and slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in the blood. And they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, "This we have found. Please identify whether it is your son's robe or not." And he identified it and said, "It is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol to my son, mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. It happened at that time that Judah went down from his brothers and turned aside to a certain Adullamite, whose name was Hira. There Judah saw the daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua. He took her and went in to her, and she conceived and bore a son, and he called his name Ur. She conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. Yet again she bore a son, and she called his name Shelah. Judah was in Chezeb when she bore him. And Judah took a wife for his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan, "Go in to your brother's wife and perform the duty of a brother-in-law to her, and raise up offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that the offspring would not be his. So whenever he went in to his brother's wife, he would waste the semen on the ground, so as not to give offspring to his brother. And what he did was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and he put him to death also. Then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, "Remain a widow in your father's house till Shelah, my son, grows up," for he feared that he would die like his brothers. So Tamar went and remained in her father's house. In the course of time, the wife of Judah, Shua's daughter, died. When Judah was comforted, he went up to Timnah to his sheep shearers, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And when Tamar was told, "Your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear sheep," she took off her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil, wrapping herself up, and sat at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown up, and she had not been given to him in marriage. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. He turned to her at the roadside and said, "Come, let me come in to you," for he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. She said, "What will you give me that you may come in to me?" He answered, "I will send you a young goat from the flock." And she said, "If you give me a pledge until you send it," he said, "what pledge shall I give you?" She replied, "Your signet and your cord and your staff that is in your hand." So he gave them to her and went in to her, and she conceived by him. Then he arose and went away, and taking off her veil, she put on the garments of her widowhood. When Judah sent the young goat by his friend the Adullamite to take back the pledge from the woman's hand, he did not find her. And he asked the men of the place, "Where is the cult prostitute who was at Enaim at the roadside?" They said, "No cult prostitute has been here." So he returned to Judah and said, "I have not found her." Also the men of the place said, "No cult prostitute has been here." And Judah replied, "Let her keep the things as her own, or we shall be laughed at. You see, I sent this young goat, and you did not find her." About 3 months later, Judah was told, "Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has been immoral. Moreover, she is pregnant by immorality." And Judah said, "Bring her out and let her be burned." As she was being brought out, she sent word to her father-in-law, "By the man to whom these things belong, I am pregnant." She said, "Please identify whose those are, the signet and the cord and the staff." Then Judah identified them and said, "She is more righteous than I, since I did not give her to my son Shelah," and he did not know her again. When the time of her labor came, there were twins in her womb. And when she was in labor, one put out a hand, and the midwife took and tied a scarlet thread on his hand, saying, "This one came out first." But as he drew back his hand, behold, his brother came out. And she said, "What a breach you have made for yourself." Therefore his name was called Perez. Afterward his brother came out with the scarlet thread on his hand, and his name was called Zerah. With today's reading, it's important that we realize that things aren't always chronological. We've got this story about Joseph and him being sold into slavery, and then it switches over and follows Judah and the whole situation with Tamar, and then our next reading is going to go back into talking about Joseph. So it's an intermission, if you will, that inserts this information about Judah. Perhaps because there was no real way to make it chronological, or just to keep the stories separated. So just keep that in mind as we continue these readings. But this story with Joseph is interesting. Joseph is receiving these dreams, and he's receiving them from God. It's a foretelling. It's a prophecy. However, his brothers don't take it that way, and his father seems to not take it that way, but yet he's unsure about it. It says that he remembered these things. Joseph is only 17 years old when this whole thing is beginning, but his brothers are quite a bit older than he is. And because he's favored by his dad, they have a lot of resentment toward him. Reuben tries to be protective of his little brother, but the others seem to have no regard for the life of Joseph at all. It makes you wonder a bit about his brothers, of how they were brought up by a devout, righteous man, yet they don't have this respect for life, even life of those in their family. And of course, we've already read the story regarding Dinah and what happened with her as well. Now, he's had this prophetic dream that has indicated to him that others were going to bow down to him. First dream was his brothers. Second dream, the sun, moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to him. And that's when his father rebukes him and says, "Shall I and your brother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves down to the ground before you?" His father kept that saying in mind, but at the same time, he's telling him, or at least acting like Joseph is making this up. So that's why I say that Jacob is on the fence, I guess, to wonder whether it's from God or whether Joseph is making these things up. It's also possible that the rebuke is because he knows that his brothers are not going to handle this very well. So apparently his brothers go quite some distance with the flocks, because when Joseph is sent out to go see about them, he's having to travel a good way and start asking around in order to find them. So this lends to this plan that his brothers have come up with to pretend that he has been killed by a wild animal, because if he was traveling that great distance, then the odds are that he could have been killed by some wild animal, especially since he would have been traveling alone. So they come up with this idea. Reuben, again, he tries to protect him, tries to appease the brothers, but doing it in such a way in which he can rescue Joseph. But instead, they end up selling Joseph as a slave, making profit off of his life. Now, you and I know where the story is going, so we know that God has a hand in all of this. But just taking today's reading alone, is you think these brothers are pretty cruel to do such a thing. But really, their discussion seems to indicate that they think that this is mercy on their part. They say there in verse 27, "Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." Maybe it's a matter of conscience. Maybe their conscience started getting to them. And if that's the case, well, good thing they didn't kill him, because they would have regretted it. But still, they do sell him. And I have to wonder if they didn't regret this whole thing when they see the reaction of their father, because it states that they all tried to comfort him and he refused, saying, "I shall go down to Sheol to my son." In other words, I should just die with him. And it may be that he's feeling some guilt, not just feeling the loss of his son, but guilt after sending him out there if he was to be torn apart by some wild animal. Then again, chapter 38 goes over to Judah, and this whole situation with Judah's sons being evil and God killing them, so much so that when it's time for the third son to go and father children with Tamar, Judah is afraid that the same thing would happen to him. Personally, I wonder why he didn't just have some discussions with that youngest son about the way that he ought to act and what happened to his older brothers. But instead, he seems to shield his son rather than send him over to her. And that's why Tamar hatches this plan. This plan where she dresses like a prostitute so that Judah would come in to her. And that says something about Judah, that he would do so. And it was probably predicted. It was figured from his character that he would do such a thing. But she's pretty shrewd in the way that she handles this, asking for a surety, these things that could be identified, because later when she's found to be pregnant, she points out the father is the one that owns these things. And of course, it was Judah, and he could no longer condemn her because he was complicit. He was one of the guilty party. And he confesses that she is more righteous than he is. Well, she gives birth to twins, and that's where we see Perez and Zerah come into the picture. That concludes our reading for today, and I struggle a little bit with what to leave you with today based on this reading, and I think that I'm going to focus on Judah and Tamar, because Judah knew what was the right thing to do, and he didn't do it. That's why he said she was more righteous than he was. She waited, and he didn't fulfill his vow. When we know the right thing to do, whether it's going to be unpleasant or not, whether it has some risk with it or not, we need to do what God tells us to do. Now, we can give some consideration to make sure that we know what the will of God is, but when we know what the will is, we need to get after it. We need to do it, because otherwise, we commit evil in his sight as well. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.